Okay, so let's get to our series. We've started a series called Oaks and Favor. Oaks and Favor. And today we're going to talk about you grow to be an oak of righteousness. You grow to be an oak of righteousness. Last week we began this series and we went into understanding why we're moving into this. And you see, God gives us favor so that we can become oaks of righteousness. He gives us His favor so that we can become oaks of righteousness. And last week we talked about a couple of reasons why I had a hard time throughout my life and as a Christian and as a pastor, how I had a hard time and a struggle anytime believing God's favor on my life. And if you want to listen to that sermon, you can go to our website and listen to it. But at the start of Jesus' ministry, at the very beginning of His ministry, He stood up in church, and this was in His hometown, and it says He would do this often. He went to church often. There's a message in that. If Jesus had to go to church. In verse 21 in Luke chapter 4, it's kind of interesting because the author of Luke, it was like he wrote what Jesus read. And then he came back to, oh yeah, by the way, before he got up and read that, he said this to them. And so he backtracks a little bit. In verse 21, it says, today Jesus said this. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And then he read this. He read from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, if you're poor, if Jesus has good news for you, what does that mean? His favor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. If you're a brokenhearted person, God has brought favor to you because of what Jesus did. Understand what Jesus is reading here at the beginning of His ministry. He's saying, this is why I'm here. This is what I'm going to be about. This is what I'm offering to planet Earth, the humans on planet Earth, to proclaim freedom for the captives. That's favor. And release from darkness for the prisoners. That's favor. And listen to this. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How many of you want that for this year? Well, more than ever. And the day of vengeance of our God. What is that? All injustice to be brought to justice. How many of you have some injustice in your life? You'd love to be brought to justice. You see, God wants us to turn our injustice over to Him and forgive them and let Him bring justice for it so that we can enjoy our lives and we can be fruitful in our lives. But as long as we're walking around bitter with injustice and we're unforgiving, we're never going to be fruitful in our lives the way God has planned for us to be. He wants us to turn all of that over to Him. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. This is what Jesus came to do. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. That's favor. A crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Who's they? Us. You will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, what? For the display of His splendor. All right, so the University of Arizona, they own this place. It's an Earth System research facility. It's called Biosphere 2. Anybody ever heard of it? It's kind of an interesting place. They say it's basically a miniature planet inside the planet. And in short form of explaining this, they basically took what God did when He created planet Earth, and they put it inside this encasement, and they tried to figure out how everything works and how everything is connected, and basically trying to figure out, you know, how things, when they figure out how things work and are connected, they find out that some things die and some things die off and some things flourish And they're trying to figure out the connections so that they can help the environment and come up with different products and different things. Well, in this environment, they found that the trees were growing much faster than they do in their natural, out in the wild. But they also came across a problem. It basically collapsed from their own weight after they started growing, and they would never reach to full maturity. And the reason for that is because they didn't have any wind inside this environment. There was no wind. And as the trees sway in the wind, it causes stress to the wood. And when the tree bends, what they found is when the wind blows and the tree bends a little, the tree manages to grow something that they call reaction wood or stress wood. And it's a different type of wood than the rest of the wood in the tree. The stress wood has a different structure to it than the rest of the tree. And it works. It works to position the tree where it would get the best light or the best nutrition for the tree to be able to grow and be strong. And you've seen trees that are contorted, haven't you? Especially oak trees. This tree is like 1,400 years old, they say. That is a long time to live as a tree. They're able, even at that, all the contortions, they're able to survive, and they're able to survive great loads in those awkward shapes. Now imagine if we built a building like this. How many of you would like to live in this place? I don't think I would. I don't care how cheap it is. I'm not going to live in that place. God. Listen, God's amazing way of creating and growing life is astounding to us. His amazing way of creating and growing us is beautiful. And here's what we do know. Wind makes oaks grow stronger. And wind makes oaks grow to be unique. If you clone an oak, the new one can have the same exact DNA as the previous one. But it's going to look completely different. Why? Because of its experiences in life. The wind that blew, and it uniquely grows differently because it reacts to the wind and the stresses of its life, where it's planted, and the storms of life that came to it. And here's what you need to know. You need to know that God is growing you to be an oak of righteousness. Here's what you need to know also. The winds are what make you strong. All too often, though, we don't realize how strong we've been made by the storms. We don't realize how the wind has shaped us, and how the wind has made us stronger, how the storms of life have made us stronger. And it's easy to look back on our lives and list all of the things that have gone wrong in our life and resent and be angry and be frustrated about those things, the circumstances that we face, being victims of others and victims of even our own bad choices. Those things all add up. And what we don't realize is those are the things that God sent our way for us to be able to be made stronger, or God allowed them to come to us to make us stronger. And what we need to see is that while the wind was blowing, the harder it blew, the more you bent over back and forth, swaying in the wind, and from within you came something that naturally began to grow. It was reactionary growth. It was stress wood growth to make you a stronger person in the kingdom of God. And here's the great thing about oak trees. Oak trees, they don't have a brain to stop and say, well, wait a second, I was a victim in that storm. Oak trees don't do that. They don't stop and think about it. What do? They just keep growing. They just keep becoming stronger. But you and I, it's easy for us to stop and say, wait a second, I was a victim in that storm. And we stop and we don't let God do his work in us. You see, God's plan for your life can only be realized when you look and see that the wind that blew throughout your life made you stronger. And when you're planted by that water that we were talking about earlier, but to be stronger, to be able to bear the fruit that God created you to bear, you have to be planted in the right place by the Lord. Oak trees bear acorns. Did you know that acorns, yeah, they're a nut, but technically they're a fruit. They have a seed inside them. So oak trees bear fruit. It's interesting, isn't it? And healthy oaks can drop up to 10,000 acorns in a year. If you have one in your yard, God bless you. But some oak trees fail to make any acorns at all. One reason is oaks can fail to bear fruit if the tree goes through a drought. They can bear fruit unless they've gone through a drought. Sometimes they'll stop bearing fruit. And here's the thing. Any water that it gets is for its own survival at that point. It's not for bearing fruit. It's just for the tree to begin to survive. Instead of being able to produce any fruit, the tree begins to just fight for its own life. And that's what happens when you as a tree are planted, not by the water, but you're out somewhere away from the water. You're just hoping and praying that some kind of water is going to come down on you. God says, no, get your tree by the water. Another reason is that oaks fail to have any acorns is the oak isn't in good soil. The soil has to be full of the ingredients in order for it to be, grow properly, in order for it to produce fruit. Phosphorus to help the roots to grow. It also needs potassium for overall health. It needs nitrogen to help it to grow beautiful leaves and actually to produce acorns. It needs all of those ingredients and more in the soil. So the bottom line is this. If the oak is healthy, it's going to produce acorns. But if it's not, it's not going to bear any fruit. Jesus said some of the most simple things, didn't he? Anytime he spoke, it was just very simple. He didn't try to impress anybody. He just told simple stories. That was Jesus. Well, one time he was talking about how important the words that come out of our mouths are. And there were people in the church that were saying bad things about him. Imagine that. But they would hurt that, see that, all that. So imagine that Jesus was dealing with this. They were talking bad about him. And they went to the extent to say that he was working with the devil, casting out demons with the devil's power. And Jesus said the way to know that a good person is good or a person is good or evil is to simply look at the fruit of their lives. He said, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. That's simple, isn't it? You got a good tree, you're going to have good fruit. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. It's so simple, but it's so profound. Then in verse 35, just a couple of verses later, he said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. In other words, if someone is good, good fruit is going to come from their life. If someone is evil, evil is going to come from their life. It's pretty simple, isn't it? There are times that we face conflict in our lives, and sometimes it's in our homes. Sometimes it's in our extended family. Sometimes it's in our neighborhoods. Sometimes it's in our church. Thankfully, we don't have any conflict in our church right now. Isn't that awesome? Bigger amen than that.
Amen.
There's going to be conflict in our nation, and we're seeing it. How do you know where to stand? How do you know who to stand with? In your family, is there conflict? Oh, John, I'm going to stay away from that. Wait a second. Here's something you need to understand. Journey 2 will help you with this. If we don't stand and do good and even fight for good, what wins? Evil wins. Oh, John, I just try to stay away from it all. Wait a second. Do you want evil to win in your life? If you don't stand, who will? In your family, is there conflict? Who is standing with those that have good fruit? You look at the marriage, you look at the children, you look at their lives, you look at their friends. Look at their lives and see, is there good fruit in their lives? And stand with what is good and what is right. For the hope of salvation for those who are struggling, those who are doing evil. In your church, thankfully we don't have any conflict now, but every now and then we're going to have something, right? So we prepare for that. Why? How? By teaching, relate, and understanding. We look to see the fruit of what's going on in the situation, and we stand for what's right. In our nation, the same thing. You can look and see the fruit of our leaders to know which side to stand on. And you can stand, and you can fight properly. Amen? Mostly on our knees. It's not rocket science. And let me say this. I'm sensing that God is calling us as believers, as Christians, we've got to be more involved in the community. We need to be more involved in the boards of education. We need to be more involved with our city government. We need to be more involved with our state. We need to be more involved in our courts. Is that crickets? Good. Was evil wins for the moment. Ultimately, Christ is. God's people bearing good fruit is what it will take for America to be godly. God's people bearing good fruit is what it takes for your family. How do you become a healthy oak bearing beautiful leaves and bearing amazing fruit? Here's the visual that the prophet Jeremiah gave us. I read this to you last week. Jeremiah gave us this visual. He said, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert and a salt land where no one lives. A bush in the wastelands. The water parched. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. What a beautiful picture. The difference between a bush in the wastelands and a beautiful tree by the water. What a difference. So let me ask you a question. How close are you to the water? Have you embraced a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? This is your choice. You can move closer to the water. You don't have to wait for anybody else. You don't have to wait for people to make things right for you. You don't have to wait for somebody else to figure out that you need this. You can decide it right now, right where you are. I want to move to the stream, and I want to be close to that living water so that I can live and be great in God's kingdom. I want to be an oak of righteousness. This is your choice. And here's the thing. If you're somebody that the wind has blown all throughout your life, God wants to take what the devil meant for bad and turn it into something good. That's what God is a master of. God will show you how all the winds that you face throughout your life can be turned into something beautiful. And how awesome. Winds make the oak grow strong, but secondly, winds make oaks grow to be unique. Look at this oak. Isn't that amazing? Oaks of righteousness. The wind jobs of your life and made you completely unique. Your struggles, your difficulties, your times of testing. Nobody has ever lived your life. If somebody were even cloned with your DNA, they would be completely different. Because nobody has experienced life the way you've experienced it. Nobody has had the winds blow in your life, in their life, like you have had blown in yours. Completely different. And here's what's interesting about an oak tree. Every turn the oak has in its shape was a turn towards more light or more nutrition. Every one of those turns and crooks that you see in the oak was a turn to get more light or more nutrition to the tree. And that's what God is calling us to do. The best decision you can make in your life is that from this day forward, every wind that blows against you, that you turn towards more light or more nutrition from Him. Some people turn to darkness when the wind blows. Some people turn to an addiction when the wind blows. Others use it as an excuse to be weak or an excuse to be a victim, a reason to not move forward in life. But God says, I want you to be strong as oaks of righteousness. I want every turn in your life to matter and something great to come from it. God calls you to this. And when the storms of life rage against us, we are planted by the stream of living water. Every wind makes us bend. The greater the bend, the greater the mend in our lives, though. And after every storm and every wind of life, we can look and see that we grew closer to the light and closer to his ability in our lives for nutrition. What is the storm of life that you face? Tuesday, would you come? Have you faced health problems? The wind blew. As a tree planted by the water, you became strong. You became closer to Him. Was it financial? You became strong. The wind blew. Was it marital? Blue. Divorce, you thought you'd fall down. Made you strong. You turn it over to God, and God's going to show you how it made you strong. You got to trust Him. What are the storms of your life? Has the wind blown? Maybe it was an accident. Wind blew. That house learn. Wind blew. She's still standing. You came closer. Was it you got fired? You came closer to her. You became strong. More nutrition. Turn, got stronger. Maybe it seemed like evil was winning. A virus. The wind blew. Today is a day for two decisions. Two decisions. Number one, to be planted by the water. You don't have to be that bush, parched, afraid, or drought. Always turn to God when the winds of life blow. You don't have to turn to any other thing, any kind of darkness or affliction or somebody that can fail you. You can turn to God. Our turning point classes are for that purpose, to help you begin to turn to God in these times of need instead of trying to just survive. God doesn't want you to be surviving. planted by. Let that happen right now. Just let God come in. Jesus, thank you for what you did for me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for your forgiveness. I repent today. It means I turn around. I ask you to help me to turn my life around. I decide today to come by the water and let you begin flowing in me. Your life-giving water, your Spirit. Thank you. Thank you that I can have a relationship with you. That I can get to know who you are, what you like, and what you don't like. And for the rest of my life, I want to accommodate for that relationship. I want to accommodate for you living inside of me. I give you my heart and my life. And I embrace your purpose. I want to be like that tree by the water. God, make us strong oaks. Make this church a beautiful forest for your glory, for your splendor. That as we walk out of here today, the world would see people represent Jesus Christ, the splendor of God. That we would be blessed, that your favor would be upon us. That God, the world would look and see that you take care of your people. And that we believe in you, even in times of struggle, when the wind blows. We just know it makes us stronger. So today we rise up as the church and say, we belong to God. And all hell's best can come against us, but we stand strong. The gates of hell will not prevail. We are the church, the body of Christ, and we love you, Jesus. You're our God. We declare today we are oaks of righteousness, strong, victorious, and able. In Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to give those of you who accepted Christ in your life today, an opportunity just to let me know and just to verify this is the decision you made today. So right where you sit, look up at me if that was you, until my eyes catch yours so I can be praying with you. Alright? Anybody else? Okay? Awesome. Amen. What a beautiful day. Amen. We're going to take communion now. John, would you please help us? John's going to pass out communion for us. Listen, we have open communion at our church. That means